Not so many years ago, I had as part of my duties spiritual care of a nun's monastery. And there was a sister there who had died. And she was pronounced dead, but she was brought back to life. They resuscitated her. And she told me that this was a great difficulty for her. She said because when she had died, she felt such peace as she had never known in her lifetime. She was happy to be in the next stage of life. And she said she came to in a room and she saw people and she thought, wait a minute. Things started to feel rather ordinary again. And she said, where am I? And she was told, you died, but they brought you back. And she said that she struggles with this because what she felt after dying, she said, was so wonderful that she would rather remain dead. She felt the peace of being with God, of completion, and she saw a great life. And she said now she had to struggle wondering why God had sent her back. And she realized that she might not know the reason or find that out until the next time she died. She resolutely, without fear, said that she looked forward to dying again. Some years before I was ordained, I went to the Adirondack Mountains where some of my family was from. And I wanted to visit my great-great-aunt Charlotte, my grandfather's aunt. He was quite old. And we'd always loved my Aunt Charlotte. She had a wonderful sense of humor. She always smiled. She loved playing cards. She loved having a laugh. She was an avid golfer. And she was a woman who loved the Lord and was immersed in the scriptures. She was a Protestant lady. And so I knew she was getting on in years, in her 90s, and I wanted to go to see her. And I asked my grandfather, who was still living at the time, where do I find Aunt Charlotte? He told me, the little town, and how to go to get there. So I went with great anticipation to see my Aunt Charlotte. And I rang the bell, and it took a while, but she came to the door, and she was smiling, but I was sort of taken aback. She was on oxygen, and she said, come in. And I was in my habit, and she said, I've heard about what you're doing. She said, I pray for you, I'm very happy for you. And we spoke. And I asked her how she was doing, and she said, oh, she said, I'm doing well. And I said, what about the oxygen? She said, oh, I'm going home soon. And I thought, oh, she must be at her daughter's house. That must be where she takes her oxygen. And I said, oh, Aunt Charlotte, I said, is this her daughter? Was also named Charlotte. We called her Charlotte Jr. I said, is this Charlotte Jr.'s house? No, this is my house. I said, you're going home? What do you mean? I'm going to heaven. She said, no more. I'll have no more oxygen. She said, everything will be new. And she was smiling. And we talked some more. And she said, as I was leaving, she said, I'm very happy that you came to visit me. And she said, I don't know if it'll be soon. She said, but we'll see each other again. And I knew what she meant. And I wait for that meeting still. These people had as a part of their life a lively expectation and hope for heaven, for that which is promised to us, and that we also celebrate in this Easter season. Now, if you were to sit with the liturgy at the hours, and if you read the second reading from the Office of Readings every day, Easter sermons from doctors of the church and from St. Augustine, you would see there they talk a lot about the Eucharist. And here we are in the octave day of Easter. And today in the Gospel began with a verse. That same verse was used in yesterday's Gospel, but at the end. Did they recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread? Those second readings in the Office of Readings, they speak so much about the Eucharist. That life that we receive from Him. And the Eucharist gives us unity in His mystical body. But it also assures us of a new destiny. The pledge of future glory, which is our own resurrection from the dead. And there will be some continuity for those in hope who hoped in Him, and for those who ate His body and blood in the Eucharist. Something of us will remain and will be raised up when the end of all things happens. It's hard for us to imagine that, but He will do that for us. We come and we adore the Lord in this sacrament because it's this sacrament, it brings us to our own resurrection. Along the way, it enables us and strengthens us to give our own bodies as offerings in union with Him in love, in our prayer and our works of charity and mercy toward others. Just as the Lord Jesus said, it's given to Him to say in the book of Hebrews, a body you have prepared for me. He does that for us too. He prepares and He gives His body to us as food in the Eucharist. He's preparing a new body for us in the resurrection. He's preparing us in our own bodies to let go of all that fails to satisfy in this world, of all worldliness that clings to us, until we get to that point where we want, Lord, our new body. We want to be raised up, the fullness of this faith. This Easter season, we could even call, if we look to how the church gives it to us, we could even call it Eucharist time. It's the fullness of that life of thanksgiving for having received the tidings, the strain of the Alleluia, that the Lord has conquered the tomb, but so shall we. It's that meditation. It's that focus of our own contemplation that with the help of the Holy Spirit begins within us a new hope, a new way of loving, and a deepened faith. Too often times, all we contemplate now is someone sitting at a desk in front of a TV camera reading us bad news. But we have something else to contemplate. That's that we too shall rise.